But all right, here we go. Isaiah 9:6 says this: "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So in our series this morning, he will be called. We're skipping around a little bit, not necessarily going in order. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the Prince of Peace and what the Prince of Peace means in our life and how to cultivate peace in your own life. I don't know about you, but if I were to take a survey of everybody in this room and I would ask you, what is the one thing beyond material goods or what is the one thing that you desire to have in your life? All of us would pretty much say, I want peace. Peace in my mind, peace in my body, peace in my emotions. I want to be able to have peace. Well, this morning, God's promise to us is that he has come as the Prince of Peace to come and bring peace in our life. I love the Message translation of this verse of scripture, though. The Message translation says this: "For a child has been born for us, for no other reason, but for you and for me. God sent his son for us. A child has been born, the gift of a son for us, and he'll take over the running of the world." I love that, because as I look around and as I listen, everybody thinks they're running the world. Everybody thinks that they have a right to run the world or to run the people in the world or give their thought or opinion and their control issues over to the people of this world. But my word says that it was declared back in Isaiah that when Jesus, he was prophesying here, that when he came, he would take over the running of the world. So if he has taken over the running of the world, why do I despair? Why am I in distress? Why do I worry? For God is truly in control and running. It may not look like it every day. It might not look like it when you turn CNN on. It may not look like it when you are interacting in your interpersonal relationships. But truly, God is in control of running this universe. It goes on to say, his names will be called Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Wholeness. Prince of Wholeness. So if I were to ask you what you really desired in life, all of us want to be whole. We all want a sense of wholeness in our life because from the time we were born to the time that we're the age that we are now, there have been circumstances and people and things in our life that have come to fragment our soul. They have come to fragment who we are, to take us and to tear us up into little pieces, make us doubt, make us wonder who we are, make us wonder if we're even called, make us wonder if we're even gifted, make us wonder if we're smart, if we're good looking, there have been things in our life and those in our life who make us doubt and wonder whether we're going crazy or not. He has come as the Prince of Wholeness. Your life is destined to be led, to be lived whole. You do not have to walk around as a fragmented person. Christ came to make you whole. You do not have to walk around and wonder who you are. Christ has made it clear in his word who you are, his child, the inheritance of his kingdom. He is the Prince of Wholeness. Amen?
Yes.
Christ to bring peace, peace on earth and peace to men. The entirety of the life of Christ, starting with his birth, was wrapped up in this thing. He came to bring peace. Hallelujah. Letting Pastor Jim know he has some technical difficulties in his church that he needs to take care of. He will be busy this week, I'm sure. Christ came at the point of birth to bring peace. We hear about it all holiday season, but why after the holiday is over do we lose sight of peace? Why is it only one time of a year that we grant peace on earth and goodwill to men? It should be the declaration of our life and the declaration of who we are all year round.
He is our peace. He is your peace. He is your wholeness. Peace on earth as it is in heaven. So let it be here on earth. His peace, himself manifested in our presence, in our homes, in our businesses, in our schools. Christ has come to bring peace in our life. Our inheritance is peace. It's not just something that we have to buy. It's our inheritance as his child. It's our inheritance as ones that were created by him. And John 14:27 says this, "Peace I leave you." Jesus himself speaking, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." I love that scripture. It's so comforting. It's the peace of God. He came to bring peace when he knew we needed some peace. You see, Christ knew everything, and he knew that we were going to need some peace in this tumultuous world. And so what did he say? He said, "I'm going to leave you a helper. I will leave you someone. This is how much I love you. This is how much I care about you. I'm going to leave someone that will be able to bring peace to you anytime you ask for it, anytime you need it." See, the Holy Spirit was sent as that in our life. Now, the real question comes is, do you embrace the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you embrace him as peace? Because every day you have a choice to make on whether you will embrace him as peace in your life. See, I hear people all the time, and they in the midst of their struggle, "Well, I asked God to help me, and he just doesn't." Or, "I asked him for this, and he just doesn't give it to me." And I really question that. And I know we all struggle at times, but his word and his promise says, "I sent you somebody who would provide all these things for you." The Holy Spirit. The peace of the Holy Spirit, the peace of Christ comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. But do we actually embrace that peace in our life? I think sometimes people struggle so much is because they know if they ask the Holy Spirit to really help them, he would, but they would rather stay in their sickness and their struggle. See, God cannot go back on his word. God has to do what he said he would do because that's who he is. And if he said, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit and I'm going to send you peace," well then, and he sent somebody to give you that peace, he's not a guy that God that he should lie. So if you really want help, I mean really, and you really want to come out of your dysfunction, and you really want to come out of your unrest, you really want to come out of your fear, you really want to come out of what you're sitting in, then you'll have peace because he has to perform his word. And I think so many times people stay in their place of distress, in their place of struggle, because they know that there really is a deliverer. But if I really do get delivered, if I really do get the peace that I need, if I really do get the help that I need, then who will I be then? Because I'm so comfortable with who I am now. Because who I am now gets a lot of attention. Or who I am now gets a lot of whatever it is. But if you really want to be whole and you really want to be helped, you've got somebody who can do it. So call upon his name. Do not run from the presence of God. Do not run from the Holy Spirit who is there with you time and time again to bring you that peace. He gave us the Holy Spirit as our tangible peace. When you cannot sense Christ, when you do not, you think he is so far off, call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. He is our tangible peace. We lose our peace because we are not fully embracing the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look by definition, the word peace is a state of balance and understanding in yourself and between others, where respect is gained by the acceptance of differences. This is really intense, and I don't ever intend for you to get all of this today. But if you have a chance, you study this word peace, and it is absolutely amazing. Peace is a term that most commonly refers to an absence of hostility. We understand that. Peace from war. There's peace on earth. In other words, there's no war or fighting going on. It refers to the absence of hostility, but it also represents a larger concept where there are healthy or newly healed interpersonal relationships. That's pretty awesome. And that's difficult because we don't all have that. We don't all have healthy interpersonal. We try and we want to. But peace was meant and sent to bring wholeness in that way. In the Old Testament Hebrew, we hear the word shalom. And they use the word shalom, my friend Monica. She's been my friend for years. And those of you who know her, you can't help but love her. But that every time she hangs up the phone or sends an email, shalom. She releases peace. Peace. Shalom. In the Hebrew, it says that it is a condition of freedom. Peace is a condition of freedom from disturbance. I don't know about you, but I would like to have a freedom from disturbance from time to time. There always seems to be a disturbance. And I understand that's because I'm following Christ and there's a lot of enemies that just do not want Christ to be prevailed in my life. But disturbance, freedom from disturbance. Sometimes you just need peace. You know, my son Joel, my house is just, whew. It's loud a lot of times, and Joel only goes to school 3 days a week, and so on the days that Joshua's in school and he gets to be home with mom and dad, he'll say, "Is Josh at school today?" I'll say, "Yes," and he says, "Oh, thank goodness, we have peace." And he's only four, but he understands how much noise Josh can create in the house. And he really can. I can't even tell you how many times we have to say, you know, a lot of times you do timeout for disobedience. We do it for like, no more talking. I'll give you a dollar if you just don't ask me another question. I promise. I'll give you a dollar if you just no more talking for right now. I just have to think. Don't let them know that I told you that, of course, but the Hebrew word shalom means soundness, health. It also signifies prosperity and well-being, a good relation in both man and God. Shalom, peace. Let it come to all of us in soundness and in health. You know, there's a statistic. Statisticians did a survey on the word peace and peace on earth. And it's reported that since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace less than 80% of the time. Oh my gosh. No wonder we all feel like we're going crazy. There's just stuff. Everywhere, all the time, in the atmosphere of our life. Pastor Doug said last week, for him, peace equals atmosphere. I wholeheartedly agree. Peace is my atmosphere, my surroundings. I think it's amazing this morning as Jim and I prayed together, I said, you know, from the east to the west, we will resound the peace of God. We will resound the life of God in the atmosphere of this city. Because the words that are spoken and the things that come over the airways and through the lives of people and it clogs the atmosphere on earth. It clogs the atmosphere of your life, keeping people unable to hear from God, to follow God, to run after God, because we get so bogged down with the atmosphere around us. Peace is my atmosphere. And I have all authority to declare peace over my atmosphere. So the earth the entire world has been been without peace for a long time. And in its study, they discovered that there were only 286 years that did see peace. Even though there were over 8,000 peace treaties made, only 286 years with peace. Dear God, that's not how God wanted it. God desires that we would have peace and wholeness and fullness in our life. Here's what's so interesting, though. For every definition will describe peace as having no controversy or no disturbance or no difficulty. But for the believer, peace is not the absence of conflict. I'm sorry to say. For the word says that I will reign on the just and the unjust. In other words, you're going to have some tornadoes, you're going to have some hurricanes, you're going to have some windstorms, you're going to have some things. The rain will fall on the just and the unjust. I would love to stand up here today and say, the minute you become a Christian, or if you walk right with God, or if you tithe the right amount, or if you do all of these things, you'll have a life without conflict. But I'm sorry to say, in my experience, doing all those things only increases the conflict in my life. And there are more times than not that I would like to run. and say, forget it all. But I know this, that he who has called me is faithful to perform his will and his work in my life. Come conflict, come ease. I will follow God. Amen. The life of the believer is going to have some conflict. It's how you choose to live in the midst of that conflict. Peace for the believer is not the absence of conflict, but it's knowing who God is right in the midst of that conflict. I can get a disturbing phone call, and I will be honest. For that moment, I might respond in the flesh, and most likely I will because I'm human. But I tell you this, it doesn't take long for me to get to the place where I say, I will know God in the midst of this conflict. My God is in control. My God will prevail. My God will take him down. My God will put him out. My God will raise him up. Whatever it is, I know I'm going to be okay. I read this story. It says, long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. And not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived, and the judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, while the viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew, and there were only two pictures that remained veiled. As a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? For in viewing the piece, a tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice, and the crowd could almost feel its cold penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. And in the midst of the thundering noises and the bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. And at one of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. A little bird built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. And with her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. Isn't that an awesome picture? If you don't get anything out of today, I want you to remember that picture and that painting. I can see it. It's so vivid and so clear. In the midst of a tumultuous cascading waterfall, there's this little branch that sticks out there, and you would look at it and say, look at little bird, you crazy as all get out. Pick up your nest and your little ones and get out of Dodge. Oh, but no. Understanding peace and the rest and the tranquility that comes even in the midst of turmoil. Amen. Can you see that picture with me this morning? Many of you, that's your life. Many of you, that's your situation right now. You can hear the roaring and the cascading of the waterfall all around you. And the threat or the concern of the disturbance that's going to come to you or your family or... Oh, but yet, in the midst of that, you find a peace that surpasses all understanding. I think one of the things that, and when I think about peace, when most people think about peace, what they want the most is peace of mind. I want my mind to be at rest. I don't want to have to think over and over and over the thoughts about a situation or a person or why this or what. I want the questions to stop. I want the confusion to stop. I want peace in my mind to understand and to know who God is and who I am in the midst of his will and his presence. Inward peace was the portion of the righteous who trusted in God. Those that trusted in God had the promise of inward peace. It is your portion. It is your right to walk in his peace. It is your portion to be able to have peace to its fullness. Job 22:21 says, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby, good will come to you. When you acquaint yourself with God, when you know who God is, your promise is that you will be at peace. and goodwill will come to you. In the Message translation, it says, give in to God. Come to terms with him, and everything will turn out just fine. I love that. Just give in to God. Just yield. Just give in. Just give in to what he's doing. Sometimes we've got to give in to what, you know, sometimes God forces us to give in to his will. And that makes it even harder. If you will give in to the will of God, when you hear him say, when you hear him call, it will cause less stress and less turmoil and less confusion than if you wait for him to force you into his will and presence. Anybody with me this morning? Has God ever had to force you into his will? Has God ever had to force you into his presence? It comes with a much higher cost than if you'll just give in. Just give in. He's in charge of the whole world. Just give in. Give in to God, and everything will just turn out fine. In Proverbs 3:2, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life, peace will be added to you. If you will not forget the laws of God and the purpose of God, your heart will keep his commandments. In other words, will you stay in holiness? Will you stay in his presence? Will you stay in his word, doing what his word commands? You'll have peace. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In other words, people with their minds set on Christ will be completely whole, steady on their feet, because they will keep at Christ and not quit. I think one of the most amazing things that came out of last week with Pastor Doug was a word of encouragement that said, do not quit. Do not give up. In the midst of this journey, it'll be so easy to quit and give up, but do not give up on the plan and purpose of God. We hear this all the time. He always seems to come through at the 11th hour, but it really is true. Somehow, God always seems to show up right in the midst. So do not quit. And do those who trust in God, those who have peace and allow his peace to rule in their hearts will be blessed, will be whole, will be filled, and will not quit because they know in whom they have believed. In Philippians 4:6, we all know the scripture, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, everything you can ever think of, which our minds cannot even fathom and know the thoughts of God or the ways of God, it'll guard your heart and mind through Christ. Do you want peace of mind? Then be anxious for nothing but through prayer. And we were admonished this morning during our prayer time, don't let prayer just be a set time in your day. Yes, we all do that, but 24 hours a day, let your mind be set on him. Let your mind be fixed on God. And you'll have the peace of God, and you won't be anxious for anything. And when that bad call comes, or that bad report comes, or a conflict comes with someone else, and you don't know what to do with it, you just stand confidently. You say, I have the peace of God. I will trust in him. I will not give in to fear, but I will have faith. I will do what he's called me to do. It changes nothing. You know, when we hear negative things, we have to be able to stand up and say, this changes nothing. We've had a lot of opposition in planting this church. It changes nothing. Because I have to answer to God. We have to answer to God. We have to believe in God. We have to try. It changes nothing. My course is steady. My way is strong. My stance is not going to waver. Because the house is being built on a strong foundation. On the foundation of who God is. What he is and what he wants to do. There is a freedom that has to come. But if I waver and if I quit, then I am responsible for every life and every person that I was supposed to encounter and help lead in the way of Christ. And so will your life. You have to answer for God. When you waver in your walk, someone else suffers. And the only person that will answer for that is you. I don't know about you, but wow, that tears my heart apart, because I don't ever want to have to stand before God and say, I didn't do my part because I was afraid, or I didn't do my part because it seemed too hard, or I didn't do my part because I wanted to be liked, or I didn't do my part because I was afraid of what they were going to think about me. We all have those feelings, and they're valid, but when push comes to shove, at the end of the day, none of that can matter. That's right. obeying God and being in the place that he's called you to and being in his presence is what matters. Amen? Amen. There are some real amazing things that will help you in your walk of peace, factors that are found to contribute greatly to peace. Number one is your life should be absent of resentment. Some of you are like, I can't wait to turn on Joel Osteen later because her word is really not uplifting me this morning. The absence of resentment, nursing a grudge, is a major factor in unhappiness. And I love Joel Osteen, by the way, and I don't think his word is very shallow. I think he's awesome, so I hope you didn't take it that way. Nursing a grudge is a major factor in unhappiness. Wow. That's a hard one for me. Woo. There's a lot of grudges I can hold on to. But my word says I've got to forgive my enemies. I can't take that out of the Bible. I want to. I want to rip that page out. Because everything else I like better. Forgive your enemies and bless those that persecute you. Whew. Huh. Why do you have to put the hard stuff in there? Bless those that persecute you. I release a blessing over you for speaking evil about me. I release a blessing over you for not standing upright when you should have. I release a blessing over you for letting me down and letting our family down. I release a blessing over you from robbing from me, from stealing from you. I release a blessing over you. Only the presence of God can come and help you with that one. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people. Does that mean you're going to agree with all people? No. I can have peace in my home and still be in full disagreement with my husband. And it happens often. But I can still have peace. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Ugh. I mean, I don't know how you make this word any lighter. If you don't have peace and you don't have holiness, you won't see God. That's how I read it. Do you read it any other way? I want to see the Lord, and not just on that great and awesome day when the veil is ripped and I stand before him, but I want to see the Lord now. I want to see him manifested in my life, in the life of my children, in my home, in my community, in my city, in my world. I want to see God, and I can't. If I hold on to a grudge, I can't. If I walk in resentment and if I'm unholy, I have to pursue holiness. Do I stand here today pure and blameless? Absolutely not. But I pursue holiness with everything that is within me. God will bring justice to those that need justice brought to them. So many of us want to just step in and be the judge and bring justice. I know I do. Whew. But God will bring justice. And I'll tell you what, when God brings justice, they better watch out. Because what I could do is nothing compared to what the hand of the Almighty will do. He will bring justice to those that need justice. He will bring them to the place where they can come into right relationship with again. God will do it. Number two, stop living in the past. An unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures leads to depression. How many of us can't stop living in the past and the mistakes that we made or the failures that we did? Look, we've all failed and come short of the glory of God, and we'll all continue to fail in this journey. We just will. But if I continue to look behind at everything I did wrong, I didn't do right, I could have done better, it's a truth. It does lead to depression. I wouldn't get out of bed because there's a lot of things that none of us have done right or none of us have done well. But guess what? You have a God who redeems. You have a God, his word says that his mercies are new every morning. Do you embrace his mercies every morning and say, God, today's a new day. Today's a new start. I will put that which is behind me. I will focus my attention forward. I will press on toward the mark of the higher call in Christ Jesus. I encourage you to do that this morning. Don't live in the past and don't live in regret of your failures. Do what is right and move on and press on in God. Number three, stop wasting time and energy fighting things that you cannot change. There are just some things on this earth that you cannot change, and there are some people that you cannot change. It doesn't matter how many conversations you have, and it doesn't matter how many times you say the same thing over and over. It doesn't matter how much it's filled with truth and life and power. There are some people that will only change when the presence of God comes and knocks them upside the head. So stop trying to change that spouse. Stop trying to change those kids. Stop trying to change those employers. Sometimes it's the power of God, and most of the time it is. Don't waste your time and energy fighting. And you know where we fight more than anything? We don't fight flesh and blood. In our mind. We have the conversation over and over and over. Well, if I sat in front of him, I'd tell him this. If I sat in front of her, I'd tell her this. If I could just say this, it all changed. We over and over in our mind, and we wear ourselves out with our constant thinking over and over. Give it to God. Stop wasting that amount. Imagine if you took all those thoughts and all the energy it takes to think those thoughts and all the energy it takes to get out of thinking those thoughts, and you gave it to something worthwhile and something to build the kingdom of God. Whew! You'd be doing something great for him. Cooperate with life and stop trying to run away from it. Just cooperate with the journey that God has you on. Stop trying to run from it. Number four, force yourself to stay involved with the living world. If you want peace in your life, force yourself to stay involved with what's alive and what's well in the world. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become reclusive during times of emotional stress. I don't know about you, but the holiday season brings on the most emotional stress than I ever feel at any other time during the year. Why? Because you have family issues to deal with. You have presents to buy with finances you don't have. You have kids that circle everything in the JCPenney or Toys R Us catalog, and you know you cannot afford it, nor do they need it. You struggle to not go into debt over what? Bows and ornaments and presents. It causes me emotional stress. And for what? When it's not really what it's all about. And yes, we need to do all those things. Force yourself to stay involved with what's true and what's real and what's right. I encourage you, don't go into debt this holiday season. As best you can. You do what you can. You do with what God provides. Your kids will be fine. They'll be happy. Because the next day, they only play with one toy anyway. At least mine do. They get 20 of them, and they really only play with one thing, and the rest of them goes in the closet. I guess my kids are the only ones like that. Anyone else have kids like that? Okay. Refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Wow. That one's hard. Because generally, you're justified in the way that you feel. Generally, you're not just gone off crazy. There's a real reason you feel the way you feel. And you're justified to feel it. Huh. But when we go into self-pity, when we refuse to follow after God and to cultivate that peace in our life, what happens? Sorrow, misfortune. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without something happening. We all do. So you want to cultivate peace in your life, then don't allow yourself to fall into the poor me syndrome. We all have it bad. You know, we all have a tendency to do that. And every time I want to feel bad about my life or my circumstance or my situation, I just think about somebody else who has it worse, because they absolutely do. There is always somebody who has it worse than I have. And in that, I have peace in knowing my God is supplying all of my need. Number seven, do not expect too much of yourself. You want peace? Stop expecting too much of yourself. We have a self-expectation that goes way, is out of control sometimes. We expect ourselves to be perfect. We expect our kids to be perfect. We expect our business to be perfect. We expect everything to be just perfect. And what happens when we fall short of that? We feel inadequate and we feel like a failure. And what happens when we start feeling inadequate? Then we start having pity. Then we start having depressed feelings. Then we don't know what to do, or we try to fix it. Some of us go way overboard. And so then we set in rules and regulations and orders and things that are unrealistic. I mean, I do this in my house. When it is totally chaotic, you don't want to be there. If the TV's on, the kids are there, there's stuff everywhere, there's laundry, there's just stuff everywhere, and I reach that point where I just cannot take it anymore, you better watch out. You better watch out, because I start barking orders, rules, and regulations. Turn off that TV now. Sit on this couch now. Get all these toys picked up. Get them upstairs. I want the lights turned off there. I need this laundry folded. You don't want to be in my house. I scare myself sometimes. Everyone has to follow suit when that happens, because I need peace and I need order. Peace, the peace of God. It's our inheritance. No, and the last thing is this: find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Find something bigger than yourself to believe in. Self-centered, egotistical people are the unhappiest. They just are. Think about it. Think about somebody who's totally self-centered or egotistical. They really, at the core of their being, are the most unhappy people that you could ever meet. But they don't know that they're unhappy, because they can't get past their self-centered, egotistical ways to realize and have any type of self-awareness to know that there's unhappiness in their life, that there's a void in their life that's not being filled by God, that's not being filled by the peace or the presence of God. And so they try to fill it with everything else. They fill it with fame. They fill it with fortune. They fill it with unholiness. They fill it with material goods. They fill it with time. They fill it with everything else but the true, raw presence of God. Self-centered, egotistical people are unhappy. Don't be one of them. How do you not be that? Live for something greater than yourself in your world. It is not all about you. And it's not all about me. It's all about the kingdom of God and establishing his presence and his kingdom in the earth today. And if we ever fall short of that or veer from it or sway from it, I tell you this, we will not have what we're hoping and believing God for. We will not have the true presence of God, and that true presence changes everything. If we don't have his presence, then we'll never really live free. Then we will never really live whole. Then we will never really have all that he has for us. And I tell you what, his destiny and his plan for each and every one of you, for this church and for this city, is awesome. It's great. It's huge. It goes beyond anything I can ever imagine or think. The Nobel Peace Prize, we all know about it. In closing, the Nobel Peace Prize is awarded annually to notable peacemakers and visionaries who have overcome violence, conflict, or oppression through their moral leadership, those who have done the most or the best work for union between nations. As Todd comes and as the ushers get ready with something that I have for you today, I want to challenge you with this. The world gives the Nobel Peace Prize to just one individual. But as I was studying this, I realize this, that there are two kingdoms, there are two nations, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. And standing between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth are you and you and you and you and me. And we are to be an agent of peace. visionaries and leaders who have moral leadership that goes beyond anything we've ever seen or we've ever known. Those who can stand right before God, who can put their head on their pillow at night knowing they did everything they could to live and obey right in that day. Those who go against every conventional way of spreading the good news. The prize, those who overcome violence, conflict, or oppression, that's daily. So today, I think I stand in front of a group of people who all deserve the Nobel Peace Prize. Because as I look around this room, I see people who have overcome oppression, who have stood in the face of conflict, who have stood in the face of violence, not only with their enemies here on earth, but with the principalities and powers and those that rule in the air. And they have looked in the face of the enemy and they said, "You will not have your way in my life. You will not have your way in this city. You will not have your way. We have stood. You have stood. I've seen you stand against all odds." So today, the Nobel Peace Prize doesn't just go to the one that the world calls worthy. But today, Christ himself calls you worthy to receive. And here's what's so interesting. The prize has often been met with much controversy, because it's occasionally awarded to people who formally sponsored war or violence, but who have, through exceptional exemption, helped achieve peace. Woo! If that's not God, if that's not you and me, I don't know who it is. There's a man called Paul in the Bible who was the worst persecutor of the church in his day. But oh, on that road to Damascus, when that light came down and when it shed upon his life and his sin and his persecution, he was changed forever. And he said, "I was once the persecutor of the church, but I stand today." Anybody once the persecutor of the church? I was. I was in sin. I was in despair. I persecuted the very one that could help me. So the Nobel Peace Prize is often awarded to those who didn't do it right for a very long time. But suddenly, there came that moment where they decided, "I can make a change. I can make a decision." And through exceptional exemption, through grace, through mercy, through the faith and the love of Christ, decided that they would achieve peace. And they would be the handlers, the givers, the ones that would exemplify peace in their life. Do I have anybody in this room today who's ready to accept their prize? The Nobel Peace Prize comes with a cost, but it comes with a great reward. For you and I are to bridge the gap between heaven and earth and be the vehicle of peace in the earth today during this holiday season. It is our sole responsibility, it is our great duty to be able to be administrators of the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has shod your feet with peace, and everywhere that you walk and everywhere that you go, his peace is there with you. You walk in peace, you live in peace, you leave peace wherever you go. Your atmosphere and the atmosphere of the places that he called you this holiday season and beyond will be changed because you let peace prevail. Are you with me this morning? As our ushers come, I wanted you to have something that you could remember this season and beyond. I wanted you to have something that you could, it would remind you when that conflict comes, when that turmoil comes, that you could look. If you'll just begin passing those out. Can I have one of them? I wanted you to have something from me, from us, from this church. It's nothing big and it's nothing major, but it's a dove, a symbol of peace, an ornament, if you will, for you to hang on your tree. But beyond that, when the tree comes down and all the ornaments come off, that you would take this and that you would hang it in a place, maybe the mirror in the bathroom. Maybe you tape it on your mirror. Maybe you put it near your bed. that when that conflict comes, when the opportunities arise, that you'll be able to look at this and say, my inheritance is peace. And beyond that, I am an ambassador of peace in his kingdom. I've been called, I've been sent on a mission, and I will walk and I will live in the peace of Christ. This morning, I don't know where you are. Maybe you don't have peace with God this morning. Maybe you need to get some things right with God. Maybe there's others that you don't have peace with that you need to get right. And you know, sometimes you can't make it right with another person, but you can make it right in here for you. There's a lot of enemies I have out there, and if I see them, as long as I'm walking in peace in the presence of God, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm at peace. And maybe some of you today don't have peace within yourself. Maybe you're ready for the thoughts to just stop once and for all. Maybe you're ready for the turmoil on the inside to just stop once and for all. I don't know where you're at, but I know this, that God is here today, and he will deliver you, and he will bring you that peace. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? This morning, these altars are open because I think that there are several of us that need to come before the presence of God. I'm going to ask those that have been asked to be on the altar this morning to pray with you if they'll come forward with me. I'm going to pray with you, but our altars are open. If you need prayer, if you need to just come and kneel and be with God and you don't want anyone to pray with you, that's okay too. That's what this is for. It's time that we return to the altar of God in the presence of God and allow his peace to rule and reign in our hearts. Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? I want to remind you that tonight is our Christmas program, Behold and Adore. And it starts at 7:00 right here, and we'll have a Christmas cookie reception afterwards in the social hall. If you can make it, we'd love to have you. It's going to be an absolutely awesome presentation. Todd and several of the other artists, local artists in the Cleveland area, have come together, and for the past two nights, they did the presentation over.